Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. My name is William Hemsworth. Great to be with you all again today for today's show. Really excited to have my guest. He's the author of a great book called The Love-Driven Man. So author and speaker, Marek Rudak is my guest today. Did I roll the R's right, Mark?
Yes.
All right.
I really appreciate the... No, it's funny because you got the R's so right that you kind of fell off with the easier part. But I really appreciate you stepping up and trying it. It's definitely counterintuitive for English speakers.
All right. Yeah. So I wanted to try to do it right because my last name is Hemsworth. And before the Hemsworth twins became famous, my name got butchered all the time.
So, So now they tell you, now they call you the son of Thor.
Well, that and no joke, I get at least one email a day asking if I know Chris or Liam. I'm like, no, I don't. So why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. So that's always kind of a dangerous question because, you know, I can talk for hours, but just kind of like in a nutshell, long story short, I was born in Poland. That's where the accent comes from. And, the name filled with rolling R's. So I was born in Poland, and what happened is when I was 10, my dad passed away. And when I was 13, my mom remarried. She moved to the United States. When I was 14, I joined her. I went to moved to California, went to a very nice Catholic high school, St. Joseph Notre Dame. At the time, I'm very sad to say that to me, religion was just like, hey, you know, something that you do, something that your adults tell you, and something that is a bit of a, you know, tax, if you will, if you want to get good education in a private school. So you know, even though intellectually I understood that the teachings, and you know, when it comes to heart, you know, my heart was set on the things of the world, and so I really focused on accomplishments. You know, one thing that really set me on that path is obviously an abusive grandfather who like really destroyed my confidence. Another thing that really continued me on that path was when I moved to the United States. My stepdad was okay with me, but I felt like a fifth wheel in my family, and I felt that, hey, my siblings have the perfect family. I'm kind of like the odd man out. So what I need to do is I need to take care of myself. And I always done pretty well in school, so I focused on academics, focusing on getting the best record possible to get a good college so I can, you know, get a great job and you know, prove to the world that I'm worth it. And to me, I thought that was the primary way of getting people to notice me through accomplishments and ultimately through the paycheck. And that's how the world will get to know me. So, you know, that's what drove me to West Point. Obviously, I would have done the same thing all over again if I could. But at the time, to be completely honest, I was more about accomplishments. I thought, hey, if I graduate from West Point with all these badges and things on my uniform, I'd just be like those confident guys you see in the movies. Right. I'd be like those kind of the superheroes you see in those Avenger movies. And I did very well over there. I graduated top 10% of my class. I ended up going to infantry. And again, the main reason I went to, because my major at West Point was computer science. So to me, the logical thing would be Signal Corps, which is like, you know, IT communications. Mm-hmm. But I thought it's like, hey, you know, I need to continue to prove my worth. So I went to infantry. I went to Ranger School. You know, again, great experiences. I would have done the same thing all over again. But where things started to crack down for me was with my marriage. And, you know, at first I, you know, it's really like looking back, it's, you know, what were you thinking, jackass? You know, it's kind of funny. You were in the Army too. Right. You kind of see how these privates get these justice of the peace weddings before deployments or, you know, right. Overnight. and you always make fun of them, you know, but hey, I'm an officer, I know better. But I did something very similar. And, you know, essentially what happened was is my mom passed away from cancer. It was hard. And after she passed away, I was very lonely. And also I was facing a deployment to Afghanistan, and I met this woman when I was on my leave from Iraq. And she really made me feel special, you know, and to me, I felt like, hey, this is the right time. This is the right thing. And let's do it. And, you know, and so I proposed and got married. And I just really didn't understand what I was signing up for. But at the time, you know, I kept going, you know, I my service commitment finished and I started looking for a job. Long story short, I ended up getting a job with ExxonMobil, great paying job, but great paying career. But that's like when things with my marriage started to break down, you know, because for much of my marriage, I was away. For example, I was in Afghanistan for 15 months. But now, like once you're back and you live with that person, cracks start to really come out. Mm-hmm. Cracks start to get bigger. And, you know, and at the time, I'll be honest with you, I was very good about courage on the battlefield, if you will. But when it comes to courage and marriage, oh man, I was a coward. And to me, what I did is something that to me felt logical, which was to run away from my problems. And the way I did that is when I went to ExxonMobil, I asked for an overseas assignment because I felt like, hey, I actually, ironically enough, felt a lot more peace working offshore in Nigeria than being at home, you know, because at home I had to face the things about my marriage that I didn't like. And I felt that, hey, if I do one of these trips, eventually things will work out, and down the road, my then wife will thank me for it. And unfortunately, that was the final coffin. The final nail in the coffin, in a sense that that even, you know, grew us more apart. And the thing that really almost killed me and really destroyed my life as I knew it was the fact that my ex-wife cheated on me. You know, again, I knew we had issues, but I just did not expect it, and you know, it was super painful. But that's exactly what I needed to start my walk back to Christ. And, you know, all these things that I knew from grammar school in Poland or Catholic high school, all of a sudden started making sense. And it definitely was an overnight conversion. Took about 7 years. But, you know, when that thing happened, when that drastic thing happened, it just made me realize just how false sense of security I had my whole life. And it really set me up for my walk back to Christ. And, you know, and again, it was an overnight conversion, but, you know, by learning to follow the church's teaching, I directly saw the impact. And probably the best example is that now I'm happily married. I went through the annulment process. And so, you know, in my second marriage, I practiced theology of the body. I did everything, you know, the church's way. And so to me, this is not theoretical because I did it my way, my first marriage, and I did it the church's way, the second marriage. And yes, I'll be the first one to admit church's way is super hard, but it's super worth it. Because if I, you know, going back to the theme of accomplishments, if somebody asks me, hey, Marek, what is your biggest accomplishment in my life? And I say without a doubt, marrying my wife, because it's just amazing. It's not that it's perfect and we don't have our issues, but we, you know, keeping God at the center makes everything worthwhile and more fulfilling and makes it just a lot more special.
Oh, amen. So your book, you wrote a book, it came out in February of last year called The Love-Driven Man.
Yes.
What made you decide to write the book, and why was then the right time?
Yeah, great question. So ironically enough, that book was inspired by a talk I gave on the retreat, and the name of the talk was The Seven Ways Satan Attacks a Man's Heart. And I just kind of like structured this talk, kind of like following my life, but also like identifying the main ways Satan attacks the man's heart. And I've got a lot of positive response for it. And so I decided, the talk was more about identifying the issues, and it was very helpful because it started dialogue. But what I want to do is I wanted to come up with the resource that once people identify these issues, there's actually things that they can do about them. And so the whole idea behind the book is that, you know, there's essentially, you know, seven main chapters that go through these different choices, like the choices that we face between love and control, and help men identify how that affects them. And then each chapter has two ways a person can implement, you know, simple things that help you overcome those issues and over time help you to become less controlling and more loving. And really the way that happens is by identifying the wounds, identifying how your choice to control the situation, although makes sense logically, but in the long term hurts your ability to love. And just as it protects you from the downside, it prevents the upside of love, because the trust in God is not there. And until we trust God, until we open up to God, it's going to be very hard for us to experience those supernatural graces and the love that we were made for.
So I know you talked about that in chapter one, control versus love. What are some ways that we as men, because let's be honest, I struggle with that too. I want to be in control. I think most guys want to, but how can we switch that dynamic to go from control to that being love driven?
Yeah. So, you know, first step is read the book, obviously, but the most important thing is to identify the origins, you know, like really identify where it comes from. Because, you know, for example, in my case, I didn't really like realize this till I was in my early 30s, but me realizing how my confidence was affected by my abusive grandfather was a huge, huge step forward, because it's like, you can't solve the problem until you know what the problem is. Because, you know, the typical tendency for a guy is, you know, we as guys, we're very solution oriented. We want to get after it and make things happen. But the problem is, you know, typically we attack the symptoms, not the root cause. You know, so for example, I'll give you a perfect example from, like, you know, after I divorced and I was dating before I met my wife, is like, you know, I kept getting into these relationships that were toxic. And at first, you know, they felt awesome. They felt amazing. Said, praise the Lord Jesus, you're finally answering my prayers. But then like 3 months into it, it's like the patterns start to emerge, you know? And so for the initially, what I would do is like, hey, you know, what's wrong with this woman? You know, like this is not right. I'm making all these changes, but it's not working. And so I was blaming things outside of me. I was blaming the circumstances, not myself. And so like when I finally like looked inside of me and figured out what the root cause is, the root cause being is that I was, in my case, I was codependent. I was attracted to narcissists until I actually looked in, identified what the problem is. Then that finally gave me an idea of what I'm facing and come up with a plan that affects the root cause, affects the disease, not just the symptoms.
Okay. Now, do you have any tips for someone who may be listening to help identify those causes?
Yeah, sure. So the best thing is you know, like I mentioned in my book, there's like these seven things to go through that will help you identify it. But, you know, if you don't get a chance to read the book, it's to really identify where are your biggest hurts, if you will. And then try to find the root cause, you know. So for example, like going that analogy of my relationships, at the time I was doing very well financially. And so to me, like my biggest hurt or disappointment in life, if you will, was the fact that I couldn't find my partner. And so, you know, so that was the at the surface, like what the problem is. And that's what I was focusing on doing. And so like kind of going back to the training I got in project management, I don't think really. I'd be curious to know if you remember that from the Army. I don't think I picked it up in the Army. I think it was actually when I did project management. They talk about asking the five whys, you know, five whys, because it's very easy to just, you know, stop at the, hey, these relationships suck, you know, these women suck, and, you know, that is my lot, and obviously God doesn't love me. It's very easy to say that, but if you ask those five whys, well, like, why do these women, you know, such a disappointing experience, you know, it's kind of like start peeling back the onion and you realize that, hey, there are actually things that I'm responsible, that if I change, if I heal, all these toxic women will lose their appeal to me. And all of a sudden the women who are good matches will start noticing you and taking you seriously because they see husband material that they're looking for in the relationship.
Now, in your book, you discuss, partnering with women versus using them. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for us?
Yeah. So obviously like that, it's kind of like a simple example in the dating relationships is, you know, for example, sex before marriage, you know, that's like a very good example, because, you know, that's something that I pretty much went through with every woman except for my wife. Is I fell into the Eros love, the physical love. You know, and at the surface, it's like, well, you know, it's consensual. What's the big deal? You know, but that really make decisions difficult, because once you introduce, you know, hormones, it's very hard to make clear decisions. And so at the surface of it, well, you didn't really use a woman because, you know, she agreed to it. But, you know, as a man, did I lead? You know, did I set the right example? And so for example, with Jessie, you know, when we started dating, and actually I have to give it credit to her, because, you know, that's something that I wanted to discuss, but I was kind of like iffy on because I never followed through on it. It's like, you know, when I asked her to be my girlfriend, that was the first thing she brought up. It's like, hey, I want to follow through with the theology of the body. And so at that moment we partnered together. Awesome. Because it wasn't easy, you know. It was a team effort. There were times where, you know, I almost fell through, and there was times where she got weak. And so like it was a team effort. It definitely wasn't, you know, for the 30 months till we got married. So that's one example. And then like if you're already married, it's, you know, another example of that is actually, you know, seeking to understand. So obviously in every single relationship there's always conflict, you know, no relationship is conflict free, but it's like what happens when that conflict happens, you know. Do you just react to the conflict, or do you try to use the conflict as an opportunity to understand the person better? Now I'll give you an example that I mentioned in the book. You know, we had like my wife is a huge animal lover. I grew up in Eastern Europe, so not that I'm an animal abuser, but to me, like, you know, animals are like, they're there for a purpose, you know. Like for example, we, you know, like my grandma had a dog because, you know, that was to guard the property. My uncle had a dog because, you know, he used that dog to hunt. And, you know, so we're not used to like putting costumes on dogs for pictures. And, you know, that's kind of like where my wife is. And so that was a big adjustment for me. And so long story short, I remember this one moment where I was on a recliner and I was just like stowing it away. And like Jesse came up to me, so he's like, hey, be careful so you don't crash our cat. And I thought, there's no way. I mean, how is that possible? Like to me, it felt like an attack, because in my mind, I thought there's no way, you know, that the cat could be in there. So like, I felt personally offended that she doesn't think I'm responsible enough. She thinks that, you know, I'm somebody that's going to kill a cat. And, you know, it took me, I'll be honest with you, at least a half a day to kind of deal with these thoughts, you know, that were like stirring inside of me. But, you know, thank God I learned my lesson that, from my previous relationships, that if you don't address things like that, they fester in this relationship. And so I decided to have the conversation with Jesse about it. And that was a beautiful thing, because in that conversation, you know, I found out that the reason why, you know, what this happened is that, first of all, me, like, her criticism, because it didn't feel warranted, brought me back to my childhood home when my grandfather would just like arbitrarily like criticize me for random things. So that's how I took it. But like when I explained to her like that's how I took it. And then like when I explained to her, she explained to me is that growing up, she didn't get the love that she needed from her parents, you know? And so to her, like animals were like there to give her the love that she needed growing up. And so that's why, like right now, these animals are very special for her, because that's what really helped her through those difficult times as a child. And so that's why she's very protective of them. She admitted that, yeah, it's, you know, it probably wouldn't have happened, but, you know, me understanding like why the animals are so important to her, you know, made me realize that, hey, it's not personal. It's not about me. It just, it's a misunderstanding. And so like having that conversation was a classic example of partnering with a person to understand where they're coming from. And because of that, you know, our relationship became deeper. We had a deeper understanding, and we have not had any arguments over the animals ever since. But had we just, you know, focused on the surface things, you know, that would have really impacted our relationship. And then who knows, like if it wasn't my past relationship, it would have been a crack that went deeper, brought other things to you know, down, and over time destroyed the relationship.
So talking it out, understanding where each other is coming from then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, you got it. So, you know, instead of the 10-minute explanation, thank you for bottom lining.
Well, no, because I honestly think it's a hard lesson to learn. It really is. I look back on my life and my wife will say that I still do that. Like, mm-hmm. And she'll call me out on it, thankfully, because she, mm-hmm. That's how I'm going to learn. And so over the years, that's learned to say, hey, okay, I'm feeling this way because of this. So how does God fit into in, how does God fit into all this? I guess let me just leave it there. I know it's a broad question, but
sure. So, you know, God is definitely at the center. I'm sure you've probably seen that one graphic. I'm a very visual person. So like imagine a triangle, and then at the top is God, and then at the bottom is the spouse. And the whole idea behind it is that as both spouses get closer to God by default, they closer to each other. And so to me, the simplest way to answer that question is through prayer. You know, I honestly feel like, hey, like what is the main reason between my marriage now versus the marriage I had before, as well as my older dating relationships? And I can, you know, that the biggest difference is prayer. You know, we, ever since I started dating Jesse, we pray together. We would pray rosary. And even to this day, we pray the rosary every night. And to me, that's really the, you know, where the God comes in. And to me, that's the clearest way that makes our relationship better. Because, you know, I through my coaching certification and working with different people, I definitely have a lot of good tips on how to communicate better, how to improve the relationships. But like, even with the tips, it only goes so far, you know. In other words, like you know, like the tips make you more productive and efficient. But if your heart is not there, you know, the tips will never overcome the issues of the heart. And so to me, all these things, it's not like I figure out on my own. I feel that they came through me, they were revealed to me over time through prayer. And because of the prayer, I got that humility to admit, you know, admit the beam in my eye rather than speck in somebody else's eye and address it.
Right. So what is the, what's the ultimate goal of being a love-driven man?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So to me, the ultimate goal of love-driven is understanding what the life is about, which is, you know, the subtitle of the book, you know, what matters eternally. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in our life, it's very easy to get caught up in day-to-day, you know, to kind of develop that tunnel vision. And it's super hard. And, you know, I'm still guilty of it. You know, when you look at Facebook, you see somebody doing better. You know, or for example, like in ministry, you feel like this is the right approach, but you see somebody else doing a different approach and actually works, and you don't feel it's the right way. So it's very tempting to switch over.
Yeah.
Or who knows, maybe judge them. And maybe that person's doing all the right things, but it's easier to judge the person rather than admit that you're not doing as well for, you know, for whatever the reasons are. And so it's really understanding like what this life is about. And so to me, like once you understand that this life is about the eternal life and you always keep it at the forefront, then it's a lot easier to make the right choices. In other words, if you look at your salary as something that that is only important on this earth, you know, that's obviously that will make certain choices. But if you think about like what matters eternally, like what things that you do will matter the most when your life is over, whenever that may be, then it becomes about, hey, if I meet my maker today or a year from now, or, you know, 20 years from now, how will I feel about this choice? And when you put it in that perspective, it makes it a lot easier to make the right decision. Obviously it's still hard to implement the decision, but it's, right, to me, it's kind of like a muscle that the more you use it, the easier it becomes. It never, you know, if you look at these athletes, these Olympic athletes, none of them, you know, none of them think it's easy, you know, but because they've been doing it for so long and they're in that habit, it becomes easier. And to them, you know, the journey becomes the reward. And that's kind of like another thing that's a big transition is moving not necessarily from the result, but the process. You know, are you happy with the process? Because if you're happy with the process, the results will come. And even if those, some of those results will not come in this life, they will definitely come in the life that follows.
Okay. So what has been the response that you've received from the book? Any feedback?
So, yeah. So here's the funny thing. Like the book did very well when I released it. I released it right before COVID and it got the number one new release.
Awesome.
But then COVID happened and I don't have the capacity to talk about the book outside of here, the Houston area. And so ever since I've been invited to some conferences, the virtual Catholic conferences, and, you know, and obviously like podcasts such as yours. Tomorrow I'll be doing the Catholic Gentleman podcast. And so it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. It's been a, you know, it's been a very humbling experience. And you know, and you learn, it's one of those things that you put your best foot forward, and to me, the thing that makes this experience the most worthwhile is like how people perceive it. Like, because you write it one way and then the person perceives it the other way. And then, so it's really great to see how it impacts people for the positive, but also it's a good experience to help me figure out what those gaps are for the next book, and you know, where the need is, because, you know, I don't want to just write a book to write a book. I want to write a book that addresses a gap that hasn't been addressed yet.
Okay. So where can our listeners check out the book? Where can they get it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. So you can check it out Amazon, Kindle, paperback. And also I have an Audible version too. It's kind of a cool story.
Oh, cool.
It's not me. I'm narrating it. Thank God. But it's, I actually found this veteran too. Great voice. He's kind of got that Morgan Freeman voice. And so it's, you know, if you are, you know, it's like me, like I'm more of a visual person. So I thought, especially for like a book that makes you think, you know, people want to actually have a physical book, because there's like in a physical book, there's a place to take notes. I thought that would be the primary means, but what I found, there's a good number of folks who prefer listening. And also there's a good number of folks who are quite busy. And so for them, it's helpful to listen to it as they commute to work.
Right.
Or they go for a walk, or you know, they do some other task. And so it's also available on Audible as well. And that's also was something that, you know, when I introduced it, was the number one release. So that was a huge blessing.
Right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You do a coaching business as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where can our listeners get a hold of you if they're interested in maybe doing that with you?
Yeah, sure. So please go to my website. It's basically my first name, lastname.com. So just matekrudak.com. What I focus in my coaching, kind of like, you know, and you can relate, William, it's, you know, in the ministry space, it's not easy to, you know, how can I say, make a living out of it. So
right.
Kind of like, you know, going to my analogy of St. Paul, you know, not that I'm comparing myself to St. Paul, but, you know, St. Paul did tent making to support his life. And so like, kind of like my day job, if you will, is executive coaching. And so what I do is I help employees get their dream promotions, whether that's executives or starting employees. And so I really enjoy that. And so if you go to my website, that'll be the language that you'll see in there is career oriented. But having said that, if you need some help with relationships or some help with your career or leadership skills, you know, go right on there. You can book a quick 15-minute call. I'll definitely give you value. And if it makes sense, then I'll invite you to work with me. And make sure that the results that you get is what you want. But more importantly, it's aligned with God's will for your life, because that's what I've noticed is really makes the big difference. It's not only having the results, but making sure that they align with God's purpose for you. Because when you combine those two, that's what really makes the most fulfilling of life, of results and relationships.
Okay, so again, the book is The Love-Driven Man. I highly recommend it. Check it out on Amazon. It's a great read. You will learn a lot from it. And Mordecai, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for the invitation. And really, I want to applaud your Rolling R's. They're fantastic.
Oh, thank you. It's been a long time since I've used one. All right, God bless.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.